How many times have you caught yourself saying, "I don't have the time, energy, or money" in the past week? Probably more times than you'd like. And I want to challenge you and say that that's not a problem. You don't have a time or energy or money issue. You have a priority issue. And when we start to think about how this ties into your ability to achieve the life that you desire, it's very interesting what comes up. So let's talk about it. Welcome back to the podcast, my friends. How are you feeling today? Today we have a packed episode and I'm jazzed and excited about what we're going to talk about. I'm even more excited because in May we're focusing all on pleasure in so many areas of your life. And I want to set the context in this podcast because I know some of you will be out here listening to these episodes and your brain is going to brain. Your brain is going to want you to think that you don't have the time, you don't have the energy, you don't have the money to invest in prioritizing pleasure. And so I'm just going to get that out of the way and let you know you don't have a time, energy, or money issue. What you have is a priority issue. So this podcast episode, I'm going to help you with some questions and some contemplations to really help you to prepare to receive what's coming up. And so if you haven't subscribed yet to the podcast, you might want to go ahead, take a few seconds, click that button wherever you're listening, and let me know that you're locked in and connected to this community. It's going to be amazing next month. I'm very excited. Okay. I recently had some conversations with my private clients and I giggled so hard. I was thinking about one of the things. That's why I started Googling earlier. But I remember she sent me a text message telling me how cool it was that she was making money and enjoying her life. And this is someone who was not someone who moved. She didn't like exercise. She was burned out. And now she's like going to the spa. She took up dancing. And then that week she actually went to her dance class and she's the only one who showed up. Ended up creating 3 new dance steps and she was so excited. She sent me the video. But I wanted to share this story because I think this speaks to the power of creating room for pleasure to exist in our lives. And one thing I found as I continue to do this work is that so many of us have been taught to achieve, to get the goals, to do all the things, that we forget that we're not just humans that work. We're not just humans that go after goals and these achievements. You're not just a human that's a partner or a mom or a wife. You're not just a human that's a sister or a friend. You are all of those things. And if you want to take a whole life approach to your life, it includes opportunity for pleasure and living and experiencing satisfaction and joy daily. So I'd been testing something out with my clients and I thought it would be great for us to have this conversation here because so many times we quickly discount ourselves from opportunities. Again, going back to the time, energy, and money, we think that those are the things we need to exchange in order for what we desire to happen. And while that may be true to some extent, it's not always the case. It's not always the starting point. And I think this is where that kind of thinking that keeps us in a cycle of lack, complaining, low-key resenting people, wink, wink. We even tell ourselves that, oh, it's good for that person, good for her that she could do it, but my situation is different. And I will tell you, your situation may look different circumstantially, but the real issue comes down to how you think about yourself and how you think about your priorities. And so if I were to ask you how to rate on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being not often to 5 being almost all the time, how often did you think about doing something that you liked for yourself in the past 3 days, in the past 5 days? What would that number be? And now if I asked you the same question, but then focusing on the thoughts you had about your kids, about your partner, about your work, about your parents, about your friends, about your boss, what would that number be? Why is that? Is it because those people need you? Is it because they depend on you? Is it because this week was just different? And so if this week was different, what about the week before? What is the reason? And how many of those reasons are rooted in the belief that being available for those things makes you more valuable, makes you more worthy, makes you more acceptable? And I'm going to pause here because I know how sobering this realization is for many. It certainly was for me. I remember the first moment when I realized that chasing after being available and doing all the things fulfilled my need and my desire for worthiness, for value and acceptance. I will tell you, I was really pissed. I was mad. And then I was sad because it just revealed how much of my enjoyment of my life depended on other people and things, things that I could not control. It just showed me how disempowered I had made myself. And I get it. We're all conditioned this way, especially if you're a woman, to be the givers, to be the ones that everyone depends on. And in a way, it kind of feeds our ego, but at the same time, it keeps us lacking. It keeps us from enjoying our lives because we depend so much on the things that we do and how we show up for other people. It's almost like we would be nothing without those people. And so if you feel some type of way, I totally get it. I understand. I also know that the solution to this is not dropping those responsibilities and saying, okay, screw it, I'm done, or secluding yourself. Rather, it requires you to really think about prioritizing yourself. Making yourself the priority is necessary. If you want to create a life where your success, where inner peace, where fulfilling personal relationships are the vibe, if you want a life where you're wearing multiple hats because you love to wear multiple hats and you're committed to wearing them well, all the while feeling peaceful and energized and fulfilled, then making yourself the priority is a non-negotiable. This is my desire for you. And the way you'll know whether you're prioritizing yourself is in the amount of pleasure you experience daily. Actually living in the experience of your life, that's the game changer if you want to have an amazing life. And so I really wanted to set this groundwork because sometimes, like I said, it's easy for us to hear, oh, do this to prioritize pleasure or do this thing to feel better. And then we quickly go to, well, I don't have time. I already have a lot on my plate. I don't have the money. Versus, oh, what would life look like if I did that? And so what I want you to do is start to question your brain when it tells you you don't have the time. One thing I realized for me, I've been talking a lot about heating up your coffee and tea. When you make it the first time and someone distracts you, something comes up and you put it away. Next thing, half an hour later, you're heating up the same cup again. It's like, no. Can you question your brain when it tells you you don't have 5 minutes to just sit and enjoy the sip of your coffee or tea? Do you just accept that as truth? Or can you challenge that assumption and see what happens? What happens if you just intentionally sit for 5 minutes? No one's going to die. Nothing groundbreaking is going to happen. But our brain doesn't want to accept that because we've been taught that our acceptance, our pleasure, and everything else that creates a fulfilling life comes from other people. But I want to tell you that nothing is more important than you in your own life, just like nothing is more important to your family in their own lives. I always like to think about a tree. When you see a big tree, it's luscious, it's got beautiful leaves, it's got flowers, maybe it's blooming, maybe it has some fruits. Sometimes it houses birds, maybe some bugs and some little animals and many other creatures that I will not dare to talk about because I'm a little afraid of some creatures, depending on what corner of the planet you're from. A tree doesn't become less of a tree if it doesn't have any of those things. If it doesn't have the leaves, it's probably because it's in a different season. If the birds aren't there, if the creatures aren't there, it doesn't change the tree from being a tree. Every other thing is just a cherry on top. And so because the tree takes care of itself, nurtures itself, pays attention to the seasons, it grows into this beautiful thing that has solid branches, luscious leaves, amazing flowers, all the things that attract the creatures and the bugs and the birds and makes it desirable. Friends, this is the power of pleasure. Obviously, you're not a tree, but can you think about yourself in that way? That you're not living for those other things. those are the things get to be an enhancement to your life because you're just so full and so amazed and enamored by yourself. I recently just completed my selfish masterclass, and this is what we talked about, where the word selfish has been used to put women in circumstances that they would otherwise not put themselves in because we're so afraid to be termed selfish. And I said selfish is that bridge from going from self-neglect, self-hate to self-love. So that you start to cultivate this immense feeling of satisfaction, of joy, of happiness, of ease. And this is different from that false sense of using things to buffer. Just so we're clear, right? This is about cultivating a deep sense of admiration for your journey. Not wishing that things were better, but just seeing life as it is right now and approaching it with wonder and curiosity. Living a little. Just taking yourself too seriously. Just relax. It's the difference between wolfing down your lunch hurriedly because you have to get to a meeting and actually blocking off your calendar so that when you're having your lunch, you just sit and you savor the bites of your food and enjoy the mouthfeel of whatever it is you're eating. I used to take a nutrition course, and I remember when we were learning about food production, and I was really surprised to learn that people actually do research and trials to taste and figure out how foods like chips taste in the mouth. There's a whole bunch of research and development that goes into creating chips because the whole point is for it to taste delicious and also salty enough and also have that beautiful mouthfeel. So you just feel like you want to keep eating. And it works, right? So what would it look like? I also have another story because I think sometimes when you hear people talk about things, you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I had one of my biggest lessons I'll never forget when I was at a previous job. I think I had just started maybe within a month. At that time, I was learning also about Ellen Satter's model around feeding. So this was the beginning of my food relationship journey. And part of her work is really sitting down to enjoy your food. And I remember one time I was having lunch. I had taken broccoli and rice to work. And just sitting and appreciating my broccoli, and I noticed that broccoli has a subtle sweet taste. I was so excited by this realization that I went to my boss and I was like, did you know that broccolis actually have a subtle sweetness to them? And she looked at me and rolled her eyes. She's from Germany. And she was like, everybody knows that. I didn't. And if you didn't, now you know. Broccoli has a subtle sweetness to it. I had eaten broccoli for years before that. I had never tasted that subtle sweetness to it because I was always just like thinking that mealtime food was a thing we just do to get through and stay alive. It wasn't until I repaired my relationship with food that I started to actually appreciate what I was eating. And that experience made me more conscious about what I put in my body. There's so many foods that I'm not going to eat, not because people don't enjoy them. It's just when I think about the pleasure that I'm going to derive from it. Does it make me feel good? Do I enjoy the texture? Do I enjoy the temperature? Do I enjoy the mouthfeel? Those are things that I'm looking for because those are the things that make me feel good when I'm eating and I'm actually enjoying my food. So I'm not just forcing myself to eat it because I have to. It's more like, okay, I actually look forward to eating. And so what would your version of that look like? Where are you getting through life without paying attention to how you live your days, just like a robot, instead of really taking it all in for you and letting your cup run over because you're so full, instead of trying to fill your cup by focusing on what's expected of you so you can pour it out to other people? These are not the same things, my friends. So, my friends, we are going to talk about pleasure in May. In every area of your life, or most areas. And my hope and my prayer for you is that this episode has given you some things to contemplate, some things to think about, so that you can start to challenge the assumptions that your brain offers you when you hear something. And don't just take it as truth and fact. And you can stay open to receiving, which we're going to talk about next week, because I really want you to be prepared. It's almost gardening season here, and what we do, we prepare the soil, we put the topsoil, we put all the things, we water, getting ready to plant. That's what I want to do. And I promise you, it's going to be fun. I'm going to mess with you a little bit. But trust me, it's going to change your life in the best way possible. So subscribe now. If you have friends who listen to podcasts, send the link to them. And we're going to talk. I love you, and I hope you have an amazing week.